We're talking Blues hockey. It's the Joey Vitale Report on 101 ESPN. Brought to you by The Electrical Connection. When you need quality electrical work for your home or business, visit electricalconnection.org.
It's a Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. 3 o'clock. Your time check is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. With Jamie Rivers and Brad Thompson, I'm Anthony Stalter. Let's head right to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line. We're joined now by our guy, Joey Vitale, who's going to be on the call Thursday night, tomorrow night, Blues and Avs alongside Chris Kerber. Joey, what's up, man?
Stalter, what's going on, buddy? Everything's good here.
Joey, we see a practice here today before we dive into anything really important, but we're going to dive into some line shuffling here by the Chief. We got Tyler Bozak flip-flopping with Braden Schenn, and it looks like Bozy's going to center Vladdy and Schwartzy, while Schenner looks like he's going to drop into the middle to play with Kyrou, who they had some success together for sure, and then Mike Hoffman on the left. What are you thinking about the flip-flop with the centerman, Joey?
You know, I like it, Jamie, simply because I think you got to figure out a way to really get Braden Schenn going. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And is it a demotion? I don't think it's the demotion. I think Craig Berube probably at some point has taken Schenner aside and has just said, hey, are you happy with how things are going? He's probably said no. And he probably said, well, I'm thinking this line right here. This is where I'm going to put you. How do you feel about that? He's probably thinking he's great because, again, he's got Kyrou on his right, who, as you mentioned earlier this season, had tremendous success with. So you got Kyrou on his one side. And then, to me, you still got the hottest stick on your left side. So for Braden Schenn, you know, for a lot of people out there always going from second line to third line, I think he's probably pretty pumped about this. It's going to take him a little bit of pressure off him to try to get Vladdy going, because that's kind of, the biggest elephant in the room is we got to get number 91 going. So it takes the pressure off number 10. Go out there, play with the fastest player on your right and play with the hottest stick on your left and go out there and create some magic, because this third line, again, we've been saying it all year, and we're still waiting for it. The third line with the matchups that Craig Berube's looking for, especially with all these home games coming up, that's the line that's got to make a difference. The top two lines, you're going to get those heavy matchups. You're going to get the Pacioretty's. You're going to get the McKinnon's. It's got to be that third line that Craig Berube's going to give 10 and number 25 and 68 a pat in the back. Go out there. Go get it. You got the third and fourth line of our opponent right now. Go out there, be productive, get a goal.
Joey, you mentioned 91. What have you seen and what do you want to see out of Vladimir Tarasenko here as this season is winding down and winding towards the postseason?
You know, the biggest thing is from Vladdy that you want to continue to see and hope to see more of is just him moving his feet and taking pucks to the net. You know, that's when he's the most effective player that he can be. It's taken a lot of time. He's missed a lot of hockey over the last 2 years, and we all know that. But at some point, for number 91 to really get going, and he knows this, he's got to start chugging his feet. He's got to start forechecking. He's got to start taking pucks directly and aggressively at the net. That's when he's at his best. I mean, I go back to the 2019 playoff run. You know, I think back to Game 7 when he set up Braden Schenn for that goal in that game in Boston. That's Vladdy. Skating hard, up and down the ice, north, forecheck, gets his bump, makes a great pass, and sets up his wingers. You know, for Vladdy, I think he's always looking for that perfect shot from the outside. He's taking his time on the power play. He's wanting that scoring to kind of evolve, and he scored some amazing goals this year, especially the one on the power play a couple weeks ago. And he has that in his repertoire. But for me, number 91, to really kind of start effectively moving in a positive direction with Bozak and now Jaden Schwartz, it's got to be that all-out effort, moving your feet, getting up and down the ice, because when you do that, he's going to draw a lot of eyes on him. He's going to create a lot of space for his teammates.
Hey, Joey, speaking of Tarasenko and his shot, he was talking about, you know, he was talking earlier today about taking too long to release the shot. He's talking about sometimes you get, you know, you overthink things, you're trying to aim a little bit. Break that down for us. When you're talking about a skilled shooter like Vladimir Tarasenko, obviously he's got the skill. Can you overthink and aim too much? And, you know, when you get into a bit of a rut, is it better to just shoot and hope that the goalie's out of position and get a couple in, then you can get your confidence back?
Yeah, I think it's just the confidence. You said it best, Stahl. It's just how do you find that confidence? And every player finds confidence in different ways. I mean, the biggest way, obviously, is to have success. But before you have success, every player individually has to figure out a way to find success within their game. I mean, listen, it doesn't take just athletes. I mean, for all of us people, for walking out the door, our wife says, man, honey, you look hot in those pants. Your butt looks tight. You kind of start feeling good about yourself. Then you start walking out into the world for that 24 hours, and you're feeling untouchable, aren't you? Because you got some confidence.
Damn right you are.
Boost.
Happens all the time, Joey.
Oh, yeah.
And then you take that confidence to the world, and it's amazing what you can do when you have a little bit of confidence. For Vladdy, you know, his shot is it's the quickness of the pop off the stick that makes it so special. Yes, he's got the accuracy, and yes, he's got the velocity. But what sets him apart from every shooter, along with probably five or six other ones in the National Hockey League, it's that pop. It's from when the puck's on the blade to the moment it's off the blade. That's the quickness factor that Sidney Crosby has as well, where he doesn't have a very fast shot, he doesn't have a very accurate shot, but it's just that pop. It's that quick twist, just bam. It's in and it's out in a hurry, and that's what Vladdy does so well. How does a player like that get confidence? Well, I don't know, because I never scored a lot of goals, but I know one player that did, Jamie Rivers' buddy Brett Hull. He talked to me about it once. He goes, when I was in drought and when I wasn't scoring goals, I would get out there early. I would just get out there early, and I would just shoot pucks in an empty net. That snap and then the swoosh. The snap and the swoosh. Basketball players probably do a lot with the free throws. Get in there and just get into that rhythm. You know, for BT there, you know, I remember playing catch with my dad when I was a youngster, you know, going out there and just throwing the ball and just hearing that pop of that leather mitt. It's just that confidence. It's kind of that swagger of just that flow you're feeling, of just that good feeling of throwing and catching, hearing the noise, getting in that rhythm of things. So I think that's something that Vladdy, without question, has been doing and will continue to do, because that to me is what, for goal scorers, you really just got to get back in that rhythm, get back into that flow of things where you're scoring and you're seeing that net move, you're seeing that puck enter the net and drop right in that blue paint.
Joey, looks like Robert Thomas on the ice today for practice. Any update on, one, how he's doing, what he felt like on the ice today, and quite honestly, how much could they use him coming down the stretch?
Yeah, he's gonna be a cool wild card, and I think that he's probably a week or so away. You know, I know his upper body, I mean, you know how those kind of shoulder things kind of get tweaked and worked around, but nothing too serious with Robert Thomas. So I do expect him to be back within the week, or maybe in sometime next week into the season. You know, what is he gonna bring? Listen, everyone knows what he brings to the table as far as the speed, as far as the creativity. He's had two absolutely amazing games this year. Both the games he actually got hurt halfway through. So here's a kid that, you know, I think he's a little bummed about the expectations he had on himself as far as what he was going to be this year. I thought he was going to be the breakout player of the year, but these injuries really have kind of hindered him. I'm thinking for Robert Thomas, if I'm in his shoes, I'm looking at about a month of hockey left. Yes, it hasn't been necessarily the year you've wanted point-wise, injury-wise, but you got 1 month. You got 1 month to go out there and make a complete dent in this season and really help your team win some games, guys, because to me, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a full group effort down the stretch, a very tough lineup for the St. Louis Blues the whole way through. This L.A. Kings team, I don't know why, but they're that sneaky team that the same amount of games as the Blues, are only 4 points, I believe, behind them, but they have a really easy schedule the rest of the way. I think they play the Ducks like 4 times in a row at the end of April. L.A. is a sneaky team that could any moment just kind of bite you right in the rear, so the Blues have got to be careful with that one right there, because points, as we know, are going to be extremely valuable, and Robert Thomas can definitely be a good anchor in the middle or on the wing. Remember back in 2019, it was Bozak, Maroon, and Thomas, and they did some massive damage for 3 weeks throughout those first two rounds of the playoffs. So Robert Thomas can make a difference without question.
Joey, is it too much to ask for Jordan Binnington just to stand on his head for the next month? Because I really think that would fix every problem that the Blues have.
I mean, it would be nice. Yeah. It sure would be nice. And I think that, you know, listen, you go back to 2019, we've had a couple of years to really dissect that. Was the coach outstanding? Yes. Was the leadership wonderful? Absolutely. Did players check their egos? 100%. Did Jaden Schwartz blow up in the playoffs and go on an 11-goal run in that playoffs? Without him, we wouldn't be there? Absolutely. Was Ryan O'Reilly trade? All that played a factor into the Blues winning the 2019 Cup. But let's not be fools here. We won the Cup. The majority of it was because we had JB in net. I mean, that's just a reality. He came to the scenes in January. He went on that absolute run to get him in, and he made I would call them miraculous saves. I mean, just even look at Game 7, for example. I mean, pucks going off his armpit, barely catching the thread of his jersey. He was magical. And without him, with how good they were, they still wouldn't have won without him. So, for me, it will come down to goaltending, much like baseball is going to come down to pitching, much like football is going to come down to your quarterback. Jordan Binnington has shown it this year in different spurts where he can be the guy. I mean, he made 50 saves, I think 51 saves in the Colorado game a couple weeks ago. He can be that guy. And if you can get him going and make him feel more and more confident, playing strong defensively in front of you and keeping things to the outside, get him in a rhythm. And guys, I tell you what, if they can get him absolutely on a run here, the Blues can really surprise some people.
Joey, we talk to Chief every week, and he talks about how he needs the guys to play more as a five-man unit. Everybody plays tight defensively together, initiate with the forecheck. We talked to Barrett Jackman earlier today, and we asked him, well, you know, one thing that he would like to see the Blues do maybe a little bit better job at. I honestly thought it was going to be crashing the net or getting more pucks to the net. He threw better back checking at me from the forwards, and that kind of falls in line with, you know, what Craig Berube demands all the time when he talks about playing five-man defense. As a forward, as a former forward, what can the forwards do to help that out? How hard is that to do consistently?
Well, it's actually not hard to do consistently at all when you're winning. You know, it's very hard to do when you're losing and you're trailing. And why is it hard to do, Jamie, when you're losing or trailing or you're not confident? Is because the defense always starts in the offensive end. And the Blues' defensive identity starts with that high forward in the offensive zone. So you got two forwards in the O zone. They're working behind the net. They're grinding in the corners, right? That high forward has to be disciplined, and he has to be patient. Now, when you're losing, that high forward, he's going to get a little antsy, right? We call him the old horny bull back in the old day. Don't be a horny bull. You got to be a calm bull. You got to be the big bull. You got to wait to pick out your calf, is what Greg Cronin used to say in the American League.
Don't get horny, the barbarian.
Right? Yeah, remember Cronin? He's like, Joey, you're getting too horny. You're too horny out there, Joey. Slow down. You're the big bull. I don't think I can say that on the air. Anyway,
we'll edit it out.
Yeah, okay. So we got to be patient. You got to be patient. And when you're losing, you want to get excited. And you want to dart down there. And you want to look for a spot or a space or get open. And then what happens usually, the other team breaks out. And then they're going the other way with an odd man rush. But when you're winning and when you're playing confidently and you're playing as a five-man unit, what they talk about, that high forward just inside the offensive blue line, it's almost like a three-man across of the blue line. You have a defenseman, a middleman, and then a defenseman. And when they break it out, which they will, you have pressure. You have pressure on the puck. You have pressure coming back to the neutral zone. Maybe you can put pressure on the puck so the D can stand up, then the forwards go back and retrieve. Or maybe the forward goes right at him, then the D can back up and kind of play that trap style. But it's a suffocating style of hockey, but it all runs through that high forward, and it's a discipline to do it. So it's one of those things, Jamie, you know, how difficult, how easy is it? It's simple, but it's not easy, if that makes any sense.
Joey, you always make sense. Love having you on the show, man. Great stuff. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, fellas. Always a pleasure. Talk to you next week.
You the man.
You look good in those jeans, Joey.